I'm an engineer.
Yeah, he's an engineer. What do you expect out of him? There were a couple of brothers, two brothers in Indiana. They're young, and they do mischiefs, and these two guys, their idea of their job is stealing sheep from other ranchers and making it their own. They don't have their own flock. They never bought any sheep. They just steal somebody's sheep and they put their own brand on the sheep and it become theirs. One day they got caught red-handed. It was the time when the local people's neighbors punishment is worse than the law itself. Too bad we don't have that system still. Now, these people, local ranchers, got them and hog tied them, and they made a special brand for these two brothers. Has a letter S and T backward, of course. And they did branded these two guys' forehead with these two letters, ST. Stand for sheep thief. So anyone who see them will know that they have ST stand for sheep thief. One brother got real bitter, so he left that little town, went into the big city, and become true lowlife. And he end up in the ditch with a knife on his back. The other one repent, and he walked away from his past life and chose to do the good things for the people in the town. He worked hard at it. Years passed, and he became most respected and most beloved man in that whole town. His name was so well known throughout the state that a reporter came down from the state capitol newspaper company to interview this man. He asked and a few things, and after the interview, he left the place and contending with the townspeople and asked them, by the way, what's that ST stand for? Remember, this many decades passed by. And town people kind of scratched their heads and said, you know what, we really don't know. I think it stands for saint. What I'm saying is that time can forgive past bad things. Biblically, forgiveness is intentional, determined action that we have to take to one another. It is a very difficult thing because it goes against our own heart. It's something we have to do. Jesus Christ, God Himself, and Father God sent His only begotten Son to who? Us. The very enemy of Him. We betrayed Him. We turned down His good offer. I mean, we could have been made in the eternal garden. Garden of Eden. Perfect setting. But we chose to, our ancestor Adam and Eve walked away from that. While we were still yet sinners, He sent His only begotten Son. Why? To forgive us. To put the things in the back, away. To forgive and forget. My Bible is open to chapter 18 of Matthew. We are going to see them, several different things, but I'm going to emphasize in forgiveness. So today's title is Justice to Them, but Mercy for Me. Justice to them, but mercy for me. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we sang, we are forgiven. Not by our good things. There's nothing for us to acknowledge in that. There's nothing for us to show off. But by your goodness, by your love, by your mercy, by your grace, we are forgiven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to hear from you so that we may mimic what you have done to us. And we may do to other people. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 18. At that time, the disciple came to Jesus and saying that, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbled himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus just told me in the previous chapter that he will die on the cross as a capital punishment by the Roman government, and he will resurrect it. Guess what? These guys don't have a focused idea what he was talking about. It really didn't dawn to them. But the one thing they were concerned about is who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. They want to know who is the top dog. Who is the numero uno? See, I can speak Spanish too. Jenny makes fun of my Spanish, but I can speak Spanish. I can say enchilada taco very well. I don't think we are much different. One way or another, we want to show off our own things. These people are concerned about who is most important among them more than what the Jesus is going through. So Jesus said the answer he gave to them is completely different. When they asked who is the best, who is the greatest among in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said you have to be little children. He didn't mean to say you have to be childish. There's a difference, ladies and gentlemen, difference between childish and childlike. What he meant is childlike faith. What's that got to do with the childlike faith got to do with going into heaven? Very much. Let's look at a few examples. Number one, children has trust, complete trust toward their parents. I have four grandchildren. Second one is a half demon. She has that devilish look too. She's cute, really cute. And she called out, Grandpa, so I turn around, she is in the airborne already. From the top of the step, she jumped in the air. And she expected me to catch. What if I said, nice try, kid. Plop. But she had a complete trust in her grandpa. Catch me, Grandpa. She didn't say, catch me. She said, Grandpa, and she ripped into the air. So, what we can see from that kind of childlike faith is complete trust. They do not, another thing is they don't have a defense system. That means they have to rely on God, on us, parents or grandparents, completely. That's what we are supposed to do. Number one, we have to have a complete faith in God. Number two, we have to depend on God. Number three, child has that the child does not have some silly excuse or logic that grown-ups have. We come up with a lot, such as, well, that really doesn't make sense. You mean I have to trust God in everything I do? Yes. That's what the child do. Unless we be like childlike, we cannot do a lot of things. And they are sincere and brutally honest. Can you believe that? You can agree with it. So, the things that children say make you get embarrassed. How about this? Have you ever heard the Bill Cosby show? One of those things that he was interviewing the children. They come up with some things that make their mom and dad just crawl under the carpet. There was one case and somebody asked one of the kids, one of the children, what your daddy do? Oh, he's a cop. Oh, really? Yeah, he catch these crooks and snap the cuffs on them and throw them in the slammer. Oh, your mom and your mother will be very feel uncomfortable because he's doing a lot of dangerous things. Oh no, she loves him. He brings the watches and jewelry, the money, all of that. Just revealed what he does on the side, huh? Kids are honest and brutally honest, and they're sincere. We have to be the same way. We have to be completely dependent. We have to have a complete trust. And we have to be honest with God. Because He sees us no matter what. Why did Jesus said we have to have a childlike faith, otherwise we cannot enter into the kingdom? Let's face this. If you and I think that we can make our way to the kingdom, into the heaven, what is that? That's a pride, ladies and gentlemen. That is a pride. When God says there's no other way, He is the only way and the truth and the life. There's no man going to the Father but through Him. And we say, no, there's more than one way to get to heaven. And we try to make our way, and which doesn't make any sense, but we try. That means we are prideful people. Guess what God doesn't like? Prideful people. Unless we come like childlike with the humility in our heart and we come to Him with a humble attitude, I need you, come into my heart, we will not enter into the kingdom. Making sense to you? Let's go to the verse 5. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name received me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if the millstone were hung around the neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about child pornography and the internet too. Whether you believe or not, 66% of internet sites belongs to pornography sites. 66%. Average, this is survey, and I know, I'm a geek too, not just Scott. I'm a fellow geek. You feel better now? Good. I'm completely lost where I was going with that. Oh, I remember now. Internet. There are about a million pages published every day, good and bad. And 66% belongs to pornography, and a lot of them are hardcore pornography. And they handle child pornography. You may say this particular portion does not belong to, in context, it's not talking about little children. I agree. It's about young believers, new believers. However, when we think about in children's, anyone who makes child pornography, anyone who watches child pornography, you are in literally deep kimchi. You are in a bad, bad situation. If you are doing it, stop it now. In my opinion, God loves His children, especially little ones who are defenseless. Throughout the Bible, you will find widows and fatherless. Often, He has extra heart for them. For those who hurt those little children, will pay for them, for their own sins. All right, let's go down to verse 7. Woe to the world because of the offense, for offense must come, but woe to man who by whom the offense comes. If your hands and all food cause you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into the life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. If your eyes cause you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into the life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. If there is anything to hinder your walk, my walk with Christ, we should stop. We should turn away from it. If it is inconvenient for you, go into the inconvenience. If the cable TV backward, okay? If cable TV and internet or newspaper or magazine cause you to stumble because you are constantly having a lustful thought, stop it. Get rid of it. If you can handle it, for the internet case, there is a browser that you allow your spouse to set it up, just password you can access. There's a way to do it. There's tons of good internet website you can do the Bible study. And there's a cable channel you can watch, you can block them out. There's no reason why you have to have that kind of thing. And some of you might say, well, I ordered the magazine, I subscription, and still didn't take it. If I cancel it, I might lose money. Lose money. It's better for you to lose money than stumbling over and over. Whatever it takes. To walk with Christ, sometimes we have to sacrifice. That means we carry our own cross. We are not to be stumbling block for the new believers because of our liberty in Christ. But we should be stepping stone for them to walk up and get mature and nurtured in the church. Let's go on to the verse 10. Now, God is looking for the sheep. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels will always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and to seek the one that is straying? Underline, to seek the one that is straying. And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices, underline, he rejoices more over that sheep than the over 99. Underline all of that, please. That did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I ask you to underline a couple of things. Did you notice something? Sheep is not the one looking for a master, the shepherd. It is the shepherd looking for the sheep. It's God who is looking for us. By the way, when God says we are like a sheep, don't consider that as a compliment. Sheep are, as far as I know, sheep are dumb. And they're completely defenseless. They cannot. When was the last time you heard a black sheep? With a snarling fang going, When was the last time you saw that kind of attack sheep? You haven't. Or the beware of sheep sign. You don't. Because they are defenseless and they are dumb. And another thing they do is they follow the leader without thinking. If the sheep, one thing goes to over the bridge, they all go over the bridge. That's more like us. We follow dumb leaders without thinking. Do you want me to make an example? Jimstown? Or David Courage? Or how about the Heaven's Gate? Heavenly Gate or Heaven's Gate, whatever that thing is. They just follow the dumb leaders. It is important for us to depend on Him, the Master, and look for and wait for Him to come. In Luke chapter 11 and 15 verse 10, I'm going to paraphrase it. When one sinner come to know Jesus Christ, God and heaven, angels rejoice. Luke chapter 15 verse 10. Listen to me, please. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God forgave your sin. And He is waiting for you. He looked for you all over. And He found you. All you have to do is come to Him. And heaven will rejoice. And you will find the peace and love beyond your own imagination. Let's go into the next verse. Verse 15. Moreover, if the brother has sinned against you, go and tell his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, and you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, and take with you one or two more, then by the mouth of the two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refused to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or the tax collector. Jesus teaches how to deal with sinning brothers. Many people leave church for this kind of problem. because it has not been dealt properly. Church discipline is one of the most neglected ministry in Christianity nowadays. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to deal with it. A lot of times they start to spread the gossip and backbiting, end up hurting one another. And they leave church for that kind of reason. I would say between 75 to 80% of church growth is by immigration. What am I saying? Coming from different church. That's how a lot of church grow. Instead of growing with the newborn believers. That's the reason, one of the reasons why God laid in my heart that 1 minute of truth is not going to be aired in Christian radio station. I'm not looking for other people's sheep. I'm looking for the lost soul. That's why I'm doing it in the KNSD talk radio station, secular station. Above all else, when we do this kind of church discipline, we have to have one reason for it. What is the reason? To win that brother back. Not to argue with them. We might be able to argue and win argument, but we are losing that brother or sister. It's better to lose argument and win that brother back. Turn your Bible to me. Keep your finger in Matthew 18 and let's go to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians is right before Ephesians, right after 2 Corinthians in New Testament. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Excuse me. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore, underline restore, please. Such a one in the spirit of gentleness, underline spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. I ask you to underline two things. Number one, I ask you to underline restore. This restore, when you look at it in Greek word, it's a medical term. To set the definition, to set the bone back into the place. To set the bone back into the place, what kinds of things it requires? It requires patience, it requires a tenderness, very gently. And also, I ask you on the line, a spirit of gentleness. With a spirit of meekness, spirit of gentleness, we have to bring that person back. Not for the argument's sake of winning their brothers and sisters back. That is an extremely important thing. This is something we have to remember. See, argument or the problem between the two brothers and older sisters end up in two or three more people, end up in what? Entire church. Just like leaven, yeast, spreading all over. If we don't deal with this, the church discipline properly, we will have a lot of problems. In this church, you can mark my word, we will do it according to God. So if you have a problem with somebody, go to that person. Please listen carefully. Go to that person, face to face, deal with it before you come talk to me. Okay? If you come talk to me, our first question I will ask you is, did you talk with that person? If you said no, I will say, go talk to that person. Second step you must do, according to Bible, Matthew 18, if that person is not repenting you and blow you off, then go back with a couple people who will be a witness, who will be there for you with a prayer. Not to side you. If you're right, they will help you. If you're not right, I hope that they rake you over the coal. But they will be there as a witness. If the person still not listen to the right thing from the Word of God, then you bring it to me. We'll deal with it. When I was in Calvary Tucson, I've witnessed this, several people excommunicated. Pastors literally tell them, you are not welcome here. And it will happen in this church too. And we will do it according to God's way. So if you have a problem with another person, please go talk to that person. All right? Okay, let's go down to the verse 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am there in the midst of them. In chapter 16, we studied about binding and loosing, remember? And I explained to you it's the binding and forbidding. Binding means, in Jewish term, is forbidding. And loosening means, loosing means in the permitting. So if what we just read, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, that portion, if I may rephrase that, it'll be like this. Whomever you forbid from your congregation because of his sin will be forbidden from heaven because of you did according to the word of God. Whomever you permit into your congregation because of his repentance will be permitted from heaven because of you did according to the word of God. Making sense? It's a binding and loosing has nothing to do with some charismatics concept. I bind you in the name of Jesus, you know, that kind of thing. Somebody asked me about that. I didn't make it clear to you guys. Some denomination says I bind the demons in the name of Jesus. Is it biblical? No, it's not biblical. I don't have a power to bind demons in the name of Jesus. Jesus does. God does. So we can ask God, would you bind the demonic forces in the name of Jesus? We can do that. It's all up to his power, not up to my command. If that's the case, demons been perished a long time ago. Agreed? Let's go down to the verse 21. Now we're going to find truly forgiven, understand forgiveness. Then Peter came to him and said, "And Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Peter came to him with a measuring rod of forgiveness. He made extra layers. And okay, since majority of the rabbis told me that I only forgive up to three times, I'll do double time and extra measure one. And Jesus would say, "Oh, you are so good." And he felt pious. What Jesus answered to him is completely out of his mind. Does it mean, okay, seven times 70? Does it mean that Jesus meant that if somebody sinned against us 490 times, after that we can pop them? No. In Jewish term, it means countless. Lose the count. That means we have to forgive as much as God forgive us. How many of you guys commit the same sin over and over and over like I do? We do, all do. And you didn't raise your hand, you just committed the sin of lying. Shame on you. Shame, Como Pai says, right? All right. This Peter came up with the idea, this is the limit I can forgive. There's no limit. We should not have a limit. NIV, some of you guys don't like NIV, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians verse 5, love kept no record of wrongdoing. That's good translation. Well, love kept some record of wrongdoing. Ladies, you ladies have a tendency to memorize all bad things about your husband thing. Let it go, okay? With your love, you must erase that portion. All the bad things, like leaving the socks next to the laundry hamper, what you call that thing? Hamper. Forgive them. Don't remember all the bad things and forget all the good things. Jesus explained about the forgiveness a great deal. He teaches us how to restore these people, those who offend us. As much as we are forgiven by God, we have to restore them back. There's a difference between forgiveness and restoration. We'll talk about that a little later. Forgiveness must be done. It's an obligation as action. When we forgive somebody, that means we have to evaluate. It's not a judgment. It's not a condemnation. However, it's the evaluation with the purpose of restoration. Not to tear down, but to build up. That's the idea. That's the idea of forgiveness. Isn't it interesting that when we ask God to give justice to other people, but we beg mercy to God when it's the same kind of sin? Why is the difference? Justice to them, but mercy to me. Shouldn't be mercy to me and mercy to that person? Let's go to the verse 23. We are going to find an interesting parable and in three different stages for the same person. Verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle his account with his servant. And when he had begun to settle account, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and with his wife and children and all that he had, that the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have a patience with me, and I will pay you all. The master of the servant was moved with compassion and released him, forgave him his debt. First stage we find him is he's the debtor. He owed 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents is the equivalent to the $10 million. How many of us can pay off the $10 million in the next couple of years? If you do, I'd like to know you. Just kidding. $10 million is not something he can pay off because one talent is equivalent to the 20 years of wages, what I was told. 20 years of wages. So 20 years times 10,000 times. That's something he cannot pay, especially with their economy. It's something he cannot do anything but by the mercy of the master, a compassion of the master, it's been forgiven. And we find the next stage interesting. Let's go to verse 28. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Pay attention to what we are going to read, please. Have a patience with me, and I will pay you all. Same sentence. And he would not, and went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. This time he is the creditor. Let's look at the 100 denarii. What is 100 denarii? 1 denarii is equivalent to 1 day's wage. In other words, there's 100 days of wage. 3 months, 10 days, averaging. And some of you say, how can you owe that much money? Well, let me put it this way. If you, let's say you make $30,000 and you have $10,000 debt, the same thing. It's the same equivalent. It's something this servant can pay back to another servant. Not like $10 million. It's achievable. But yet this man did not extend the same mercy he received, mercy he got from the master. So what kind of thing are we going to look at? We are going to find another stage in the next verse, verse 31. Oh, by the way, this guy has a legal right to throw that man into the prison. However, he did not have a moral right to throw that man into prison. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what he has done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that has been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgive you all the debt because you begged me. Should not be also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you." And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. He became a prisoner. That's the stage. There's one worst prison in the world. You know what that is? The unforgiving heart. If you have that kind of heart, if you have unforgiving heart, you are living in a prison. There's a good news and bad news. The good news is you can get out anytime. Bad news is you are not holding the key and you choose not to get out. If you're holding the bitterness, if you are not forgiving that person, you are living in the prison by your own willingness. It's must for us to forgive. When I was in the prison ministry, there was one inmate told me, "I cannot forgive my wife because she tried to kill me. She put the gun on my head and she tried to kill me. So I cannot forgive her." So I told him, "You know what? You're not living in this prison only, but you're living in spiritual prison. And you choose to not to get out of that prison. Is it worth it to you? Is it worth it for you to live in that bitterness? The gall of bitterness coming to your stomach whenever you think about that person's name or whenever you see that person. Isn't it better for you and me to release that hardened heart to God and ask God to extend His mercy to me and to you so that we can extend the mercy to the other person and live free life?" Person who living in the unforgiven heart, living in a jail, living with a bondage. You are not really freed up until you forgive that person. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, you can mark it and just go take a look at it. "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." However, there's three things that I like to bring your attention to. There's some misunderstanding about forgiveness. Number one, you don't have to say, "I understand why you've done that." You don't have to say that. They make their own decision. They make their own action. If they choose to do it, you don't have to understand it. That's their problem. However, again, as I said before, as Word of God says, forgiveness is our obligation as a Christian. We must do it. Second thing, don't say that what you have done doesn't hurt me. Don't say that. A lot of people think that they say, "Well, it doesn't hurt me." Don't pretend that you don't have a pain. Pain is there. Hurt is there. Again, you have to release that bitterness and bondage. Otherwise, you are living in that prison. Third, forgiveness does not mean restoration. What do I mean? Just because I forgive somebody, that doesn't mean I have to put that person back in my life. Let's say there's a man who cheated on his wife time after time after time. Each time she forgave and he cheated on her. One day she said, "Okay, that's it. I forgave you, but I'm not going to put you back in my life." Is it wrong? No, it's right. Sometimes the person has to say, "Enough is enough." Because some people never learn. They choose not to learn. Forgiveness does not mean restoration all the time. It would be nice if you can do that. All right, let's make some applications here. First one, forgiving someone who hurt us deeply is not an option. It's a must. I think he explains, I don't need to explain it. Second thing, remembering God's forgiveness requires our own forgiveness to ourselves. Remember, they already forgive us. We must forgive ourselves too. Let it go. Past is a past. You cannot do a thing about it. Let it go. Learn from it. Make it better future. Third, God's forgiveness for us is free. But other people's forgiveness will be satisfied with our repentance. Hear me well, please. God's forgiveness is free, but other people's forgiveness will be satisfied with our repentance. If we continue to do the same thing what we hurt them, then they're going to have a hard time forgiving us. So to satisfy them, we have to turn away from our mistake and do what is right in the sight of God. Making sense? Let's stand up and pray.